All right. Did you hear that? They can say it all sounds crazy. They can say I've lost my mind. I don't care, so call me crazy. We can live in a world that we design. I'm going to refer to those words again later in the sermon, but for now, it's enough to point out that P.T.'s dreams was a world full of things, especially imported and exotic things. In pursuit of his dreams, he finagles his way into purchasing a museum. The old museum isn't doing well, and it's not bringing in the money that Barnum had hoped for. One day, Barnum's daughter tells him that this place is a dull wax museum, and he needs to add things that are alive. Barnum agrees, and he goes out searching for unusual acts and people, and he finds them. Back in the day, these acts and oddities were what folks called a freak show, which is a term I really don't like. But the truth is that the people in the acts were misfits, the oddballs, the ones that didn't fit into society's definition of normal. We meet the dwarf man, the bearded lady, the 500-pound man, and many others who made up Barnum's band of misfits. Each character in our show states they hate being stared at, ridiculed, and laughed at. Barnum replies that people are going to laugh at them anyway. Why not make money off it? They seem to see the sense in that. And soon, Barnum has a stable of acts drawing in good crowds. When I learned I would be bringing this message on this show, a lot of time thinking about the oddballs. I was thinking about what it's like not fitting into what is deemed as normal. Like the people who made up Barnum Circus, many of us may have felt like the misfit. And like those circus people, I know what it's like to be stared at. I'm not going to dwell on the fact that I have NF, and I'm only All right, I'm not going to dwell on the fact that I have NF, and I'm only going to use this to illustrate a point. That point being, people staring is going to happen. People will stare at someone who doesn't fit the norm, and they unfairly judge that person. Maybe like me and the people in our show, some of you may have experienced this. Some of us may have felt like we don't fit in, and that for whatever reason, we are perceived outside the definition of normal. Many of us may have felt judged by our looks, by our size, if we weren't pretty enough. We should ignore those people and accept ourselves. We should love ourselves for who we are. I mean, God does, right? A great philosopher, I think it was RuPaul, once said, "What others think of me ain't any of my business." Accepting myself for my uniqueness, I decided I had to be me. And I invite you, if you ever felt like the oddball, to do the same. Accept your uniqueness. Later in the service, Andy will sing "This Is Me." And I hope you'll be encouraged when you hear it, not only to accept your own uniqueness, but also to celebrate it. You know, it's no accident that Uprising's mission statement includes this phrase: affirming your joys, journey, and unique gifts. Accepting yourself is the first step in accepting and valuing the uniqueness of others. I want to go back now to what I mentioned about when talking about P.T. Barnum's dream of collecting things. In the movie, a character named Jenny Lynn is introduced. P.T. realizes he can draw in bigger crowds and make more money by promoting Jenny's concerts. So he leaves the circus under the direction of his assistant and goes on the road with Jenny. It's clear to the audience that she has strong feelings for Barnum and imagines the two of them together. When Jenny realizes that P.T. does not return her feelings, she decides to cancel the tour and return home to Europe. We hear her sing her final concert number, Never Enough. Some people probably think that she's singing about the fact that Barnum doesn't return her feelings, that she will never have enough. She'll always be wanting. But I think it's possible that Jenny has realized that Barnum will never have enough. They'll always be pursuing fame and fortune and things without stopping to consider whether any of them mean as much as love. Listen to Deanna sing and see what you think.
Let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting louder now. Can you hear it echoing? Take my hand. Will you share this with me? 'Cause darling, without you, all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough.
P.T. Barnum, the dreamer, was getting closer and closer to his goals in some ways. Barnum's museum, which is now called a circus, was a success, but he still wasn't satisfied. Then one night after a show, something happened that began to change Barnum. The circus performers were being harassed by the people who judged them for not fitting in. In short, a fight broke out, and the kerosene lantern was thrown. This action ignited a fire that destroyed the building that housed the circus. Everyone escaped safely, but Barnum is angry and blames the performers for bringing this fire on themselves. Barnum storms off to drown his sorrows at the bar, But the circus people come to find him. They have a few things to tell him. They have a few things they want to set straight. You see, they don't see themselves as oddities or freaks at all. They are learning to love and accept themselves as they are, and they rely on each other. And they are becoming a community, a family even. This experience reminded me of someone from my hometown who was a lot like those misfits in Barnum's Circus. His name was Pete, but everyone in town knew him as Old Mitt. I first met him when I was probably 5 years old. Old Mitt was a character. It would be easy to dismiss Old Mitt as an oddball or even a misfit. He was quiet and humble and developmentally disabled. He had very little income. He made most of what little money he had by doing odd jobs, like shining shoes or carrying someone's groceries uphill to their home. Sometimes people in town would give Old Mitt some change or even a dollar if he would do this silly dance that he had created. When he was asked by why he would allow himself to be laughed at or even humiliated, Mitt replied with his good humor that if someone wanted to pay their good money to laugh at him, he would gladly take it. Despite his circumstances in life, I never saw Mitt without a smile on his face. He had this joyous laugh that was like a Disney character would have. He never seemed to let being poor define him. He used the little money he got from errands and the pocket change people gave him for his act to take care of his mother. Yes, some cruel people in my hometown laughed at Mitt rather than with him. Some people probably thought of old Mitt as desperate or even dumb. It's possible that he was unhappy on the inside, but I really don't think so. I kind of wonder if old Mitt hadn't simply accepted his uniqueness a while ago and become comfortable with who he was. Many people responded to Mitt's kindness with kindness of their own and helped him make sure his needs were met. His landlord reduced his rent. Several cafe owners routinely dropped off meals. People made sure he had groceries and heat and air conditioning. And when he died, the town leaders made sure he had a proper funeral. Old Mitt was loved and respected. When the circus performers show up at the bar where Barnum is trying to drown his sorrows, they let him know that they are not ready to give up. They want him to rebuild the circus. He may have brought them all together for his own selfish purposes, but they have become a family. They are not desperate or lonely. They are living their lives that may not be to everyone's liking, but they are living full and meaningful lives. I don't think it's a stretch here to draw your attention back to today's scripture reading. Most of us know this story very well. Jesus is walking along by the Sea of Galilee, and he calls to their brother Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him. We know what the people of the time thought of Jesus and his followers. They saw them as oddballs and misfits. They probably thought Jesus was an egotistical dreamer with all the things he was saying about God and about the way the world should be. That little band of disciples never gave up, even when they lost their leader. They hid away for a while after Jesus was crucified, but later on, they got back to work, and they didn't worry about those who disapproved or laughed at them. You know, there's a song from Showman that I think is perfect fit for this. In the movie, the song is sung by Philip, P.T. Barnum's assistant, and later his partner, and Anne, a trapeze artist. Philip and Anne have fallen in love, but he is white and she is black, and so society and even Philip's own family will not accept their love. This is a song of hope they sing.
You know I want you. It's not a secret I try to hide. I know you want me. So don't keep saying your hands are tied. You claim it's not in the cards and fate is pulling you miles away. and out of reach from me. But you're here in my heart, so who can stop me if I decide that you're my destiny? What if we rewrite the stars, say we were made to be mine? Nothing could keep us apart. You'd be the one I was meant to find. It's up to you, and it's up to me. No one can say what we get to be. So why don't we rewrite the stars? Maybe the world could be ours tonight.
The things don't magically and suddenly get easier for Ann and Philip when they sing the song. Eventually, they decide that what's important is not what society declares, but rather what they themselves decide. The song says, it's up to you, it's up to me. No one can say what we get to be, so why don't we rewrite the stars? Here's a word of caution and hope. Remember in the beginning when P.T. Barnum sang about his million dreams? He sang about building a big house and filling it with things. Well, Ann and Philip sing about building a new world order. Instead of a place filled with things that don't have any real meaning, they want to build a place that is full of meaning and love. For society doesn't get to decide who we are or who we love or what we do. That's a much nobler dream. I have one final thing to say. I love Broadway. I love having the opportunity to bring you one of the Broadway sermons each year. This year, I preached on The Greatest Showman, and I shared some things with you I've enjoyed about the show and the music. Some of you know that the real P.T. Barnum story was a much darker one than the movie suggests. Nothing today I've said about the musical is meant to excuse his behavior. I even encourage you to do some reading about P.T. Barnum. But here's the one thing about Broadway musicals. Sometimes, often, Broadway doesn't simply tell us how things are. It tells us instead how things could be or even should be. That's one reason I love it so much. I hope you found something in the music and the sermon today that inspires you to be part of what the world could be. Amen.